Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, entitled The Son of Drona Punish, text number 8. Sa Samhitam Bhagavatim Kritvanu Kramya Chatmajam Sukham Adhyapayam Asa Nivriti Niratam Muni. Sa Samhitam Bhagavatim Kritvanu Kramya Chatmajam Sukham Adhyapayam Asa Nivriti Niratam Muni. Sa Samhitam Bhagavatim Kritvanu Kramya Chatmajam Sukham Adhyapayam Asa Nivritri Niratam Muni. That Samhitam, Vedic literature, Bhagavatim, in relation with the personality of Godhead, Kritva, having done, Anukramya, by correction and repetition, Cha, and Atmajam, his own son, Shukam, Shukadev Goswami. Adhyapayam Asa. Taught. Nivriti. Path of self-realization. Niratam. Engaged. Muni. The sage. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Vyasadev, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sri Shukadev Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentation on the Brahma Sutras compiled by the same author. This Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra is meant for those who are already engaged in self-realization. Srimad Bhagavatam is so made that one becomes at once engaged in the path of self-realization simply by hearing the topics. Although it is especially meant for the Paramahamsas or those who are totally engaged in self-realization, it works into the depths of the hearts of those who may be worldly men. Worldly men are all engaged in sense gratification. But even such men will find in this Vedic literature a remedial measure for their material diseases. Shukdev Goswami was a liberated soul from the very beginning of his birth, and his father taught him Srimad Bhagavatam. Amongst mundane scholars, there is some diversity of opinion as to the date of compilation of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is, however, certain from the text of the Bhagavatam that it was compiled before the disappearance of King Parikshit and after the departure of Lord Krishna, when Maharaj Parikshit was ruling the world as the king of Bharatvarsha. He chastised the personality of Kali. According to revealed scriptures and astrological calculation, the age of Kali is in its 5000th year. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled not less than 5000 years ago. Mahabharata was compiled before Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Puranas were compiled before the Mahabharata. That is an estimation of the date of compilation of the different Vedic literatures. The synopsis of Srimad Bhagavatam was given before the detailed description under instruction of Narada. Srimad Bhagavatam is a science for following the path of Nivritti Marg. The path of Pravritti Marg was condemned by Narada. That path is the natural inclination for all conditioned souls. The theme of Srimad Bhagavatam is the cure of the materialistic disease of the human being, or stopping completely the pangs of material existence. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare. So as it's mentioned in the last sentence, the theme of Srimad Bhagavatam is the cure of the materialistic disease of the human being, or stopping completely the pangs of material existence. So we are in this chapter 7 of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the son of Drona Punished, and here the sages had, I think, asked Suta Goswami, what did Vyasadeva do after he had met Narad Muni? So after the departure of Narad Muni, what did Vyasadeva do? So Vyasadeva sat down in his ashram at Shamya Prayas, and there he engaged in the process of meditation. And he had a vision. Vyasadeva actually saw the personality of Godhead in his personal feature. And he also saw the parts and parcels, the jivas, and he also saw the plenary portions, parts of the plenary portions, the various incarnations, and he saw the different, the three principal energies, the internal, marginal, and external. And specifically he saw how the external energy is like the shadow of the Lord, and how he also saw the cause of the various living entities suffering in the material world. So being conditioned by this illusory energy, the living entities are being covered over by the three modes. The living entities are identifying with the material body, and thus that is the cause of their repeated birth and resultant suffering. And Vyasadeva also saw the solution, which is the linking process of devotional service to revive, to bring the living entity back to its true constitutional position. So here, in this verse, we see how it's mentioned that Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam, taught it to his own son, Shukdev Goswami. So the author of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva is also the author of all the Vedic literatures. and as it's mentioned here, the Brahma Sutras or the Vedanta Sutras also. So Vyasadev compiled all this Vedic literature, and he specifically taught it to his son, because we see in the Vedic civilization, the father is considered to be one of the gurus. So there's the father, there's the spiritual master, and then there's the king. So these are like different, and your teacher. So these are different gurus. So it's the duty of the father to enlighten the son. So the father actually considers the son as a disciple. So here we see Vyasadev instructing Sri Shukadev Goswami. So in, of course, in today's day and age, people don't know who their father is. So, and even the fathers, they are also blind to Atma Tattva. The fathers are also blind to Krishna conscious knowledge. So therefore, at most, what they can instruct their wards is, do whatever pleases you. Do whatever makes you happy. Whatever makes you happy, just pursue that path. So this is basically what we learn from our fathers and mothers. But in the Vedic civilization, it's actually the duty of the father to deliver his son or daughter. So it is said, one should only beget children if one can deliver them, as Lord Rishabhdev says, if one can deliver them from the cycle of birth and death. So here we can see it's the duty of the father to give Vedic knowledge, not only give material knowledge, how to survive in this world, but also to give the ultimate knowledge, the Krishna conscious knowljeof going back to Godhead and reviving our relationship with Krishna, because that's the entire purpose of the human form of life, to be Krishna conscious. So in that sense, there's no difference between the son and the disciple. And if the son was not interested, the son would be rejected. It's that principle, anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. So even Prabhupada mentions in, I think, 13th chapter, text 8 to 12, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that if family life is favorable, one should accept it, but one should stay in it. But if it's not, then one should reject it. So the same principle applies here also in the Vedic civilization. You see, that the sons would be instructed in Vedic knowledge. So the story of Shukadev Goswami is also very interesting. Do you know how Shukadev Goswami ended up in the womb? So Shukadev Goswami was actually the parrot of Srimati Radharani. His name was Shuka. And his service was to, like, parrots take messages. You know, in the old days, people would tie a message, a letter to the parrot, and then the parrot would fly to a destination and convey the message by handing over the message to the other recipient. So the Shukha, the parrot, would actually take messages from Radharani and to Krishna. So then Radharani was going back to the spiritual world, and Shukha also wanted to go back, the parrot. But Radharani said, you stay here. But he said, I'll feel your separation. She said, then wherever Harikatha is taking place, if you're in that location, then you won't feel separation. So Shukha agreed. And then he was looking for a place where Harikatha was taking place. So then Shukha went on like that, and he went to Kailash mountain. So at Kailash, Lord Shiva resides. So there Lord Shiva was instructing the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parvati. So there was a Bhagavatam class going on. And so then Shukha hid in the tree, in the leaves of the tree, Shukha hid himself. And he was hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And because Lord Shiva was in so much engrossed in the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was not aware of the external circumstances or the environment. And Parvati would make a sound every now and then to let Vyasadev, to let Lord Shiva know, sorry, that she is hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, like or some sound after some time, because he was enwrapped in meditation. So after a while, Parvati fell asleep. Of course, this is the Leela. So she fell asleep, and then what Shuka did, because he was hiding in the leaves, he made that sound. So Lord Shiva thought that she's awake and she's listening, and so I should keep reciting. So like that, that went on for a while until the Bhagavatam was finished. And then she, Parvati, she woke up. And then she asked, Lord Shiva asked Parvati, so how was the Bhagavatam recitation? What did you get out of it? How was it? And she said, I'm really sorry, but I actually fell asleep in between and I couldn't hear parts of what you said. And then Lord Shiva was amazed. He said, then who was making that sound? And she said, I don't know who was making that sound. And then Lord Shiva started to look here and there. Who's making this sound? Who was that living entity? And then Lord Shiva found in the tree Shuka, the parrot. And then Lord Shiva immediately wanted to kill Shuka because he thought, this parrot is actually not qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And someone who's not qualified, they can actually create a disturbance. Someone who's unauthorized. So then Shuka ran for his life. Shuka flew for his life. And then Lord Shiva was following Shuka. There was a pursuit, chase going on. And then Shuka reached the ashram of Vyasadeva, where Vyasadeva was speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam to his wife, Bithika. Her name is Bithika. So he was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to his wife. And then at that point of time, she yawned. She opened her mouth and yawned. And Shuka entered her mouth. So Shuka hid in the body of Bithika by entering her mouth when she was yawning. And then soon after, Lord Shiva reached there and he asked, have you seen this bird called Shuka, to Vyasadeva? And Vyasadeva, and he explained what had actually taken place. So then Vyasadeva said, because Shuka has heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's actually eternal. So you cannot actually kill him. So then Lord Shiva said, okay, and then Lord Shiva went away. Lord Shiva went back. So then Shuka went in the womb and took the form of a human embryo. So then we know that actually Shukdev Goswami, he didn't stay in the womb for 9 months, which is the normal duration, but he actually stayed in the womb for 16 years. And that time he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Shukdev Goswami heard the Srimad Bhagavatam in the womb. And he didn't want to come out of the womb because Shukdev Goswami is already self-realized. So he didn't want to get entangled by coming out in the material world. Also in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear the prayers in the womb of a fortunate child. So as is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, there's four kinds of people who approach Krishna, and there's four kinds of people who do not approach Krishna. So these four kinds of people approach Krishna because of their piety in the past. Because they have some piety, they have done some unknown devotional service, they, in times of distress, they actually take shelter of the Lord. So whereas the other four classes, Namam Dushkitra Mura, Prapadyante Naradama, Maya Aprita Gyan, Asuram Bhavam Ashrita, these four classes of men, they do not surrender unto the Lord, generally speaking. So, unless by the causeless mercy of a pure devotee. Whereas the other four classes, Chatur Vidha Bhajante Maam, Jana Sukhitana Arjuna, Artho, Jigyasur Arthati, Jnani Cha Bharatarshava. These four classes of men approach the Lord, whether it is in distress or in need of money, because of their piety. So we see people who even come to the temple, they are approaching Krishna with material motivations, but because of their piety, they're coming to Krishna. But if that piety is not there, they'll try to figure it out in their own ways. So even we see the fortunate child in the womb, because of his or her piety, he approaches Krishna. He prays to Krishna that, I'm in such a miserable condition and position, And the womb, we know, is a very miserable place. So after I come out, I will take spiritual life very seriously. So the fortunate child prays in this way. But of course, as we hear later in the description, that when the child comes out, usually most of the case gets bewildered again by the illusory energy. So Shukdev Goswami did not want to come out for this reason. He was thinking, I don't want to get covered over. So I just want to stay in the womb. So this went on for 16 years. This is inconceivable. So the child did not come out. So in this way we see Shukdev Goswami was instructed in the Bhagavatam within the womb. So one might say, even to hear the Bhagavatam, we need some basic literary knowledge. You know, you need some basic English or basic Sanskrit. You know, even in order to hear the Bhagavatam right now, you know, we need to know English. Otherwise, how can? But it's inconceivable. But Shukdev Goswami did understand everything in the womb. So here is Vyasadeva was very eager to teach the Srimad Bhagavatam to Shukdev Goswami, because as is mentioned, he was already engaged in self-realization. And also, as we hear from the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, dharma projita kaitava atra paramo nirmat saranam satam, that Srimad Bhagavatam is actually meant for the Paramahamsas. So those who are actually free from material envy. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for the swan-like devotees. So a Paramahamsa is someone who is basically on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. They are not seeking any material happiness. So they are above the three modes of nature. So that's a Paramahamsa. So Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for such kind of people or devotees. And why is Srimad Bhagavatam very attractive to them? Because Srimad Bhagavatam describes the Param Jnanam. Srimad Bhagavatam describes the highest truth. So I'll just read that verse. So completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. So Srimad Bhagavatam actually propounds the Param Jnanam, or the highest truth. So Srimad Bhagavatam is above the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. It's above the Jnana Kanda. It actually describes Krishna in his personal feature, and how we can actually develop a relationship with Krishna in one of the five transcendental mellows. And even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he holds the Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless Purana. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself would hear the recitations of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he would go into ecstasy. So therefore, in this age of Kali, we have to, if we simply read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, our life will actually be perfect. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he recommended the affection of the gopis, either in maternal affection or conjugal love, as the highest perfection in life. So, Ramya, Kaschid, Upasana, Vrajavadu, Varjena, Ya Kalpita. So, we see in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam is actually meant for the swan-like devotees. And why do liberated souls take pleasure in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Because such devotees, they are actually beyond the regulative principles. They are not in sadhana bhakti. And Krishna is beyond the material creation. So in other words, because liberated souls, they do not take any pleasure in anything material, because they are on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be a material sound vibration, because liberated souls are aloof from material happiness and distress. So we see, like Shukdev Goswami, if they are actually taking an interest in Srimad Bhagavatam, that also proves that Srimad Bhagavatam is beyond the three modes of nature. And as Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. So my appearance and activities are actually transcendental. They are not on the material platform. So because such activities are transcendental, liberated souls are also attracted by such activities. But at the same time, Srimad Bhagavatam works in the hearts of worldly men. So that's the beauty of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Whereas Vedanta Sutra, we see Vedanta Sutra is for those who are self-realized. Or even to approach the Vedanta Sutra, one has to be in the mode of goodness. One has to be on the Brahminical platform. Whereas Srimad Bhagavatam, anyone can approach the Srimad Bhagavatam, no matter which mode of nature we are conditioned by or situated under. So, as we can see, for myself, not in the mode of goodness, but somehow we can, by the mercy of the Bhagavatam, we can progress. So we are gradually being uplifted. So we didn't come to the Bhagavatam class because we are Paramahamsas or we are on the mode of goodness. So we started coming to Bhagavatam class in the modes of passion and ignorance. And gradually we are being elevated. So that's the potency of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And also as we heard in yesterday's verse, that when one hears the Srimad Bhagavatam, two things happen. So gradually this love for Krishna sprouts in a heart, and side by side this lamentation, fearfulness and illusion is dissipated from the heart. So two things are happening side by side, inconceivably. So this is the potency of the Bhagavatam class, simply attending the Bhagavatam class. So it's not something to be taken very lightly. Bhagavatam class is extremely potent if it is spoken by someone who is coming in the disciplic succession and following the rules and regulations. So then the Bhagavatam class becomes very, very potent. Otherwise, if we just hear Bhagavatam from anyone and everyone without that person having any qualification, that kind of Bhagavatam recitation does not produce anything. It's more or less a waste of time. And also, as it's mentioned again in the second verse of the Bhagavatam, that as soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. And Prabhupada mentions in the end of the purport, he mentions, without undergoing the different stages of realization set forth in the Vedas, one can be lifted immediately to the position of Paramahamsa simply by agreeing to receive this message. So one has to simply agree to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam submissively and with attention. So if we can be in rapt attention, as Maharaj Parikshit was, so one can only be in rapt attention if one is pure in eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Then the mind will be pure and thus we can be in rapt attention. So if one submissively, not in a challenging spirit, tries to hear the Bhagavatam class, not that we come to class and, yeah, you know, what does the speaker know anyway? It's been only some time in the temple. Or we'll only hear from such and such a devotee. So, or I know better, or we think that certain sections of the Bhagavatam are actually not correct. It is an exaggeration. So if we simply, submissively try to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam with faith, for the person Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat, we can actually progress in spiritual life. So it's only that simple. But the problem is, as Prabhupada said many times in his classes, we are inviting everyone to come and hear the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But people do not come. People do not come to hear. Why? That's also mentioned in the second canto, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. As mentioned, Shrutta Vyadini Rajendra Ninam Santi Sahasrasha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Griheshu Grihamedinam. So I said, those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing in human society, O Emperor. And then it's mentioned, Dehapatya Kala Tridishva Atma Samyeshu Asatsu Api Desham Pramato Nidhanam Pashyan Api Na Pashyati. That persons who are devoid of Atma Tattva do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. So, this Srimad Bhagavatam is actually open for everyone, and the Bhagavad Gita. But persons, because due to a poor fund of knowledge, due to lack of genuine knowledge, and because of attachment to the fallible soldiers like the body, the wife, the children, their different material arrangements, they are unable to. They do not place any importance on hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. They think that their fallible soldiers can protect them at the time of death, or even in general. And they have so many subject matters for hearing. So even when you are doing book distribution, people will say, I have no time, I'm busy. Sorry, I'm busy. So because they have so many other subject matters to hear, economic, political, social, scientific, so many subject matters, but they do not have any faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And on top of that, we see, because of the progress of the age of Kali, the social fabric is so much destroyed that people cannot even hear attentively because their attention span is so much diminished. Someone was telling me that before, movies used to be for 3 hours, then they reduced to 2, then 1.5. Now even the documentaries are reducing to like 45 minutes. So because people do not have the attention span because of a very degraded upbringing, or because of indulging so much in sense gratification, they're not even able to focus. And the environment today is that everyone's mind is agitated. You just walk on the street or wherever you are, everyone's mind, there are so many stimulants. People's minds are fully agitated. There's a lack of discipline. In school, character building is actually not taught. What is taught is just how to make you a consumer, more or less. You're trained to become a consumer. And producers. Yeah, someone has to produce. So consumers, producers and consumers. And then you die. Devamrita Maharaj, that's the mantra. Consume. The mantra is
work, buy, consume
and die. So the basic foundation is not taught in schools these days. So the character building, discipline, learning to accept an authority, regulations, these things are not taught. So, and on top of that, from the age of 10 or 11, everyone's engaging in illicit sex. So by the time they reach 18, they are fully destroyed. Their physical and mental health is destroyed. So in such a condition, it is very difficult for people to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I was hearing a lecture by my spiritual master. He was saying, preaching means to create an environment so that people can hear. So that is the extraordinary challenge in this day and age, to create such an environment where people will be favorable to hearing Krishna consciousness. So that's the challenge in our preaching, to how to create such an environment. And because this is an extraordinary task, Srila Prabhupada was also faced with this challenge. And as we know, at the Boston Harbor on the 18th of September 1965, Srila Prabhupada, he compiled his prayers called Markine Bhagavat. So I'll just read those prayers, some of them, so we can actually try to appreciate Prabhupada's mood. He was in a situation like this also. So I'll just read the translation. He said, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul. But I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here, otherwise why would you bring me to this terrible place? So Prabhupada is saying Manhattan is a terrible place. So we might be thinking Melbourne is a great city. We have some pride in it, but Prabhupada is saying it's a terrible place. Because in cities it's nothing but degradation. It's a spiritual slaughterhouse. So it's actually a terrible place. Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental knowledge of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. So Prabhupada is also thinking, how will they understand it? But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of illusory energy by your will, and therefore if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire the deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. So here we can see Prabhupada also saying that if they somehow repeatedly hear your message in a submissive mood, then they will understand it. So that's the challenge, to get them to hear. That's our challenge, biggest challenge. And if they hear, then we can see in our own lives, when we heard, so somehow we are here and we are still hearing. So we have to get them to hear, and when they hear, two things will happen simultaneously. They will develop love for Krishna and their material miseries will diminish gradually. So that's the power of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam, as is mentioned, is the Nivritti Marg, or it's the path of self-realization. So there are two margs. Marg means path. There's Pravritti and Nivritti Marg. So Nivritti Marg means the path of renunciation. So like there is Anartha Nivritti. So giving up unwanted things. So like that is the Nivritti Marg. So the Pravritti Marg is what we heard before. So it's the path of sense enjoyment. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So back in the Vedic age, the Pravritti Marg was done in the Vedic way. It was done in the regulated way. But still it was sense enjoyment and it leads to repeated birth and death. But in today's society, everything is unrestricted. So it's very, very degraded. And there's nothing to feel proud about living in today's society. We might get enamored by the technology. So many phones and iPads and the technology is very... But actually there's... If you look at the quality of people, the consciousness is very low. So Srimad Bhagavatam, if anyone can hear... So the conclusion is anyone can hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and come to the highest perfection stage. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes, please. Yeah.
So, can you elaborate on that? What meaning? Go to that step before each intoxication. To compile and then divide and then what meaning?
Actually, in the transliteration, it's anukramya, by correction and repetition. It says by correction and repetition. I'm not sure. Maybe you would like to comment.
Looks like he did a total drop and then just write it without revision, just take it out.
Yeah.
To introduce how careful he was there.
Yeah.
He wanted to send the correct message so that they don't know his face.
Prabhu said that he just didn't speak it, he revised it before teaching it, so to make sure there's no mistakes. He was very careful in his transmission. Gopal Mishra, same thing.
I was hearing from
last
time, he said that as part of the 18th Quran, he should have been on Baba. Then after the instruction, he had to be the way the whole Baba. He rewrote. There was some section for him to take on this. So, yes, for 2 times.
Yeah, he heard from Vyasadeva in the womb. It's good.
Shiva Maharaj once was asked, how come Sukadeva Goswami stayed 16 years after this? And he said that Krishna really is inconceivable, and just like Krishna was dancing with millions of gopis in such a small place, and now he changed and expanded time and space. So, Shiva Maharaj said that we have to understand that some of these pastimes are outside of the ordinary understanding. So, that child didn't grow up exactly when he took big men. But when he took birth, he quickly grew up into a 16-year-old boy somehow. Within 2 moments.
Yeah.
So this is some of the inconceivable transcendental pastimes. So he said in order to understand this, you have to agree that the supreme autocrat has transcendental inconceivable power that is beyond physics and ordinary events.
Yeah, thank you. Anything else? It's pretty. I'm not the right person. I don't know. I found this on ISKCON Desiretry. So it's from a bona fide source. Yeah, it's interesting. And you'll have to ask Bhanu Swami. Yes, for me. Well, first, we know Vyasadeva put the Vedas in writing, the 4 Vedas.
No, I'm saying that so-called people,
There's, the issue is because the Bhagavatam itself says it was compiled 5,000 years ago, but actually there's no proof of that. You know, you can't find any archaeological evidence or any material proof as such. So then, I don't know how, but they come up with different theories that Bhagavatam was compiled at 1000 CE or... for that we'll have to read Searching for Vedic India. It actually goes in detail.
By the language.
By the language, okay.
So
linguistics.
Yeah, they think, okay, that's how they wrote Sanskrit at this time, and that's how they wrote Sanskrit at that time. So, you know, when they examine one book, Bhagavatam written in that way, they think this is the time it was written, but it might have been rewritten many times.
That's right, yeah.
So they probably should be kind of...
I was actually thinking of reading Searching for Vedic India. Devamrit Maharaj talks about the Vedas and, you know, what people... linguistics thing when it was compiled, and I just didn't have time. It was a big section, therefore I skipped that section. I didn't speak on it because I didn't know. But yeah, as Prabhupada is mentioning, for more detail you can read searching for Vedic India. All tough questions. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki.